As we move towards our time around the Lord's table and recognizing God's graciousness to us in the gifts that he blesses us with, I want to try and combine a number of thoughts as we introduce our Advent series for 2017. I keep saying 2017 because it's almost gone. So it's great to come afresh to a season and know the joy of it in the way that God intended for us. And I've called it Forever Christmas. And I hope that along with me, you can all be excited and encouraged and engaged in Forever Christmas, in knowing how to look past the present to the gift that guarantees the future. That's there on our invitations, and I want us to unpack it a little bit this morning, because what I hope we'll gain from it is that Christ coming into this world changes everything for every one of us forever. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. And Emmanuel, you know, what a great name for this time of year to come. What a great meaning to that name, as we'll discover. But for you and Belinda, as you celebrate God's gift to you in little Anna L. Alicia, it's good for you to know, if you haven't already discovered it, and it's good for us to know too, and I know it personally, you know, that a child coming into a life changes everything. Amen? I mean, as I can recall it, well, positively, when I became a father, I think the first thing I discovered is I've got a lot more respect for my own mum and dad. That's one of the things I discovered. I also discovered how much there is to say about one tooth. And what a meaningful conversation you can have with just basic vowel sounds like ah and ooh. Yeah, it's wonderful to have that kind of conversation with your children. And I love that. I love the fact, too, that what hit me positively was that you suddenly become aware, if you didn't know it beforehand, you know, material wealth is nothing. And that you'd rather spend a lot of money on a big cuddly toy than on a brand new putter that you've had your eye on for a while. You know, there's some very positive things that your little girl is going to change about your life. I think less positively for me, perhaps as it sticks in my mind about the change that children bring, is that you suddenly then discover that hobbies are very much a thing of the past. You know, you no longer need a clock because your child now sets your schedule every single day. And that the only parties that you get invited to are the ones where you get a party bag at the end of it. I love that. And perhaps the biggest lesson of all, less positively, I think, for me, is that you learn to appreciate that Peppa Pig has some kind of intellectual contribution to make to your family life. I've never quite hooked into that, but they change us all, don't they? Children change us all. I cut out an article in a paper back in 2012, and it quoted one study as saying that on average, this is just 5 years ago, on average, I don't want to shock you, Emmanuel and Belinda, some of us will know this, so we won't be surprised, but a child will require your attention on average 210 times a day. Wow, now I figured that out to be 76,650 times per year. And some days they can get a year in one go. On average, I know this to be true, you will drive them 125,000 miles before they're able to drive themselves. Hey? And all the mums and dads went, yeah, we know. And on average, and it is average, I don't know how they make these things up, but you will lose 44 days of sleep in the first year of each of your children's lives. And it will cost you, to get them to the age of 18, £200,000. And then it really kicks off once you get to 18. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know for sure that children change your life. And Belinda and Emmanuel, you know, you'll discover it. They're going to change your world. But at Christmas, we celebrate the child born and the son that's given to change every life and all of our worlds, don't we? Not just the past, where we now know that no wrong can be not put right. That's wonderful. Not just the present, where now there's no obstacle that cannot be overcome because God has come in Christ. But even the future. Even the future, where once death ended it all, Jesus forever now secures life in all of its fullness. You talk about changing a life. This child given, this son coming, changes everything for us all forever. And you hold that truth in your heart. I think somebody, Randy Alcorn, I don't know if any of you have come across him, but he said this: the best part of Christmas is not the presents we receive, but the presence of God with us. He changes it all, does he not? And I figured that pretty much this is what we want to get across. Christmas is forever because Christmas is Christ and Christ is forever. And I'm sure that this year, like every year, the Christmas Grinches will be working overtime to take Christ out of Christmas and to leave us in Narnia without Aslan, as C.S. Lewis put it, where it's always winter, but it's never Christmas. But you know what I thank God for? I thank God that Christmas was not the idea of some philosophers or politicians or some pagan group somewhere on the earth that got together and decided that it would be a good thing to do. They may have commercialized it. They may have compromised it. They may have customized it for their own sakes. But listen, Christmas is and was an idea born in the heart of God from all eternity, because Christmas was and is forever. Be encouraged. You know, even if you try, you can't take Christ out of Christmas. To try and take Christ out of Christmas is like trying to take heat out of the fire. It's like trying to take the wet out of water. It's like trying to take the oxygen out of the air. It's like trying to take the notes out of a piece of music. It's impossible. We may choose to leave him out of our own Christmas, but no one can ever truly leave Christ out of Christmas, because Christ is Christmas. And whether we believe it or not, he changes it all for us all. Amen? So I want us to look past the present and get this year. And that is the present, by the way. It's a play on words. That is the present you may get. I want us all to look past that present and to the gift that guarantees the future for us this year. So perhaps, is it going to come up? Perhaps a thought to treasure as we carry through the Advent season is simply this. Christmas means that God loved us so much, he came to live with us and die for us so that we can live with him forever. And I tell you this, as a church, we would be shortchanging anyone who came here this Christmas and they left not knowing this and not knowing him. And you know, Belinda and Emmanuel, I say the same to you as mum and dad to your little girl. And if she grows up not knowing this and not knowing him, then we've shortchanged her as well. That's why I read this passage in Hebrews 1, or got Kevin to read it this morning, because I think there's a lot of people who understand and have heard the story of Christmas, but for some reason have never truly grasped the significance of it. So let's see if we can look past the present that we get then and to the gift that guarantees the future. And I'll underline just a few things from what we've read together that I hope will bring this across. The first is simply this. In terms of forever Christmas, I want us to thank God for the past gift that he's given us. The past gift of God. Now, it's wrapped up in the very first verse of what Kevin read from Hebrews. And it's up there. If you can't read it, it says this: In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in many ways. And I was thinking, you know, if you asked me, or perhaps if you asked anybody, what do you think are some of the best gifts that God has given to us over the years? probably God speaking to us would not be that high up on our list of things that he's blessed us with. But what a blessing his speaking to us actually is. Because in his speaking to us, what does God do? He gives himself away. He reveals his heart and his intentions. That's what all speech does, isn't it? It reveals what we're thinking. It reveals what we're feeling. That's why even as I'm telling you this, I'm doing exactly what it says on the tin. I'm sharing with you my heart, my thoughts, my feelings, my beliefs, and trying to communicate it to you through my words, giving myself away. And when God speaks, he's sharing his heart with the world. He gives himself away because God is not hiding from us, even if we're hiding from him. I may have told you before, but you know, one of the great joys of being a granddad is playing hide and seek with your grandchildren. It's an absolute joy. And it's such an easy game for grandparents to play because young children have got no idea how them making a noise, them talking and giggling and laughing when you're trying to find them, gives them away. You know, I know that they naively think they're hidden, but when they're giggling and I say, oh, is Lydia hiding under the settee? Lots of giggles. I haven't got to look too far to find them. Because they give themselves away. And God has spoken to give himself away, to reveal himself to us. Not inadvertently, like little grandchildren trying to hide in a game of hide and seek, but deliberately and at a more adult level. In contrast, do we not know that when someone is not speaking to us, it can be hurtful, it can be upsetting, and it can be off-putting? Have you ever been sent to Coventry? Not literally, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a great place to be, is it? But God does not give us, this is the wonder of his past gift, God does not give us the silent treatment. He's gone out of his way to communicate with us because he wants true relationship with us. And he wants us to enjoy the fun and fellowship of that relationship. Do you know why Belinda and Emmanuel, a lot of parents have little or no relationship with their children? Because they won't engage them in conversation. Isn't that a sad thing? Listen, Emmanuel, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to every parent here and every grandparent here. Talk to your children about the God who talks to us. Is there a better thing to do? Put them into bed with a prayer. Tell them a Bible story and tell it in a way that you know it and you believe it and you're excited by it. That's why so many marriages fail, isn't it? When husbands and wives stop talking to each other and start talking at each other. Big difference, isn't there? It's why we get fights and wars, because people stop talking to an issue with someone and they just start taking issue with someone. It's why gossip destroys relationships and fellowships. When we stop lovingly talking face to face with other people and we start murdering them behind their backs. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? But when we speak, we open the lines of communication and we show people our heart and we show them what we want. And it's exactly what God has done in speaking to us. And he does speak to us. He spoke through his creation. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That's the first thing that God spoke, isn't it? Creation into being. He didn't hammer and bang the universe into existence, did he? He spoke it into being. Read Genesis 1 again and again and again. What do we read? And God said, let there be light. And you know what? Quicker than the speed of light, there was light. Again and again, time after time, God said, and what God said happened. Isn't that a marvelous thing? I think it's a wonderful thing. It's no wonder the writer of the Hebrews tells us here in verse 10 of what we read, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. You know, sometimes the best thing we can do for our children is to take them out into the world and show them the creation that God has made and talk it through with them. That'd be a great thing to do, particularly in our time and in our culture, where people think it happened by chance. No, God made the world, and creation speaks to us, not just simply of the creation that he brings into being, but more especially that through creation, what kind of creator he actually is. That's why Psalm 19:1 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Why? Because just as a building reflects the mind of its architect, just as a cake reflects the skill of its baker, just as a painting reflects the talent of an artist, so too does creation reflect the power and presence of its creator. Isn't that true? Do you know why Robinson Crusoe knew there was somebody else on his island? Because he saw their footprints in the sand. Take your children out. Take your friends out. Take your neighbors out. And show them the fingerprints of God all over his creation. And you tell me that doesn't speak big and loud of a God who wants to know you and bless you and love you forever. Isn't that a great thing for us to do? It's a big old universe, isn't it? I was reading this week. Did you read this in the paper this week? That a typical galaxy contains 100 billion stars, and that in the visible universe alone, there are thought to be 100 billion galaxies. Hello. Hello. Amazing. I mean, can you get your head around that? I tell you, I can't get my head around that, but what it says to me is this. That's quite a voice God has got in speaking all of that into existence. Amen. But you know, the past gift of God is not limited to creation. It extends to his speaking through his creatures too. That's why the writer here says that it's through his prophets, at many times and in various ways, he speaks to us. You know, God spoke to prophets through visions and dreams and face-to-face encounters. But when God spoke to the people, normally he spoke through the prophets that he had appointed. He spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. He spoke to Isaiah in a vision in the temple. He spoke to Amos through a basket of summer fruit. And we could go on, but the point is, when he spoke to these prophets at many times and in various ways, he did so in order that then these prophets could speak to the people for him. Now, Emmanuel, Belinda, you may not be prophets of parents, but I want to tell you that in many ways and in various places, God will speak to your daughter through you. So you better learn to get the message right. And isn't that true for us all as God's people? We may not be prophets as such, but you know, when we've got his word, we can be prophetic in the way that we share it and bring it to those around us, so they can hear at least what God's got to say and not what we think he's saying through our own interpretation. Isn't that why Billy Graham famously said that we, as God's people, are the only Bible that some people will ever read? What's the message that's coming across? Some people think of us as Christians more for what we're against than what we're for. Well, God is for us because God has come to be with us. And we need to encourage people along those particular lines. So I challenge us all, if you want to know and love God, look past the present you're going to get this year at Christmas to the gift that he is that guarantees the future for us. In other words, set the right example and let your example reflect him so that the true message comes across. That a marvelous thing. What mighty men those Old Testament prophets were. when you read their stories. And yet they spoke eternal truth and they foretold the coming of the one who, as Moses said, would be the seed of the woman, who Micah said would be born in Bethlehem, who Isaiah said would be born of a virgin, and whose rule and peace there would be no end. But whilst the Old Testament prophets knew a lot, the writer of the Hebrews is going to go on and tell us now, they didn't know it all. They didn't know it all. So we move from the past gift of God to what we might call the present gift of God, because he goes on to declare, in these last days. Now, when he says in these last days, that's Bible speak for the time between Jesus coming into this world as a baby in Bethlehem and Jesus one day coming back to this world as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what he's talking about. In these last days, in this present age, if you like, God has spoken to us by his Son. And Jesus doesn't just speak to us the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. It's a marvelous thing. The prophet spoke about the truth, but Jesus is the truth. The prophets pointed to the way, but Jesus is the way. The prophets talked about life, but Jesus is life. The prophets were able to say, which they did again and again and again and again, thus says the Lord. But Jesus came and he could say, I say to you. Big, big difference. If you read it on in Hebrews, we haven't got time this morning. Jesus outspeaks the prophets. And if you follow the reading on, it also tells us he outranks the angels and he outlasts the universe. Why? Because Emmanuel, and you got a name that tells us, God is with us. You know, we know it. We hear it. Oh, have we lost the blessing of it? Listen, God is not just, Jesus is not just one from God. Jesus is one with God. God walked this earth. People get into the debates, there is no God, we can't prove it. We're only going back 2,000 years in history, folks. God walked on the earth. He walked on this earth. The incarnation of Christ proves God. He doesn't just bring God's message. He is God's message. And all of us ought to know that this Advent season. And what's God doing in Jesus? I tell you what he's doing. He's simply spelling himself out in a language that we can all understand. That's why John in his gospel says he is the Word. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And in Hebrews here, the writer puts it slightly differently, but it comes to the same truth. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. What sunlight is to the Son, Jesus is to God. It would be easier to try and separate sunlight from the Son than to separate the Son from God. Emmanuel. But either way, forever Christmas. Jesus did not have his beginning at Bethlehem. Jesus, as God, existed before he was born, and he gave all things their beginning. That's why little Anna L. Alicia is fearfully and wonderfully made, as we all are, because it was God who knitted her together in her mother's womb. It is God who knows the words that are going to be on her tongue even before she shares those words. Because he made us, and he knows us, and he speaks to us so that we can know him. Isn't that a marvelous thing? People say, you can't prove that. Well, look, Isaiah says to us, I love this, to us a child is born. Now listen, you've heard it many times. To us a child is born, but to us a son is given. Now, folks, you cannot give what you didn't previously have, can you? And you all said, no, Sean, we can't. We can't. You can't do it. I can't give you £1 million this morning because I don't possess it. I'll let you into a secret. I've never possessed it. You can't give what you previously haven't got. I can't teach you how to play chess because I don't play it. I never have. And I can't help you with rocket science because I don't know it. Never, ever. But listen, God gave us the gift of life in his Son because he had life in him to give. Not just for this Christmas, but forever. Isn't that the truth? God gives what he is and what he has. Life. One Christmas card that I've kept over the years put it like this. I think it's a beautiful thing. Listen, the word did not become a philosophy to be discussed, or a theory to be debated, or a concept to be pondered. The word became a person to be followed, to be enjoyed, to be loved. Jesus makes visible for us the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? You look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know what God would say to you? Then you listen to the words of Jesus Christ. You want to know what God would have you to do? Then you look at the things that Jesus did. And next year we're going to shadow the Lord Jesus Christ as part of our whole life discipleship and get more to more to grips with all of those particular things. But the gift of his presence in this present age, deliver Emmanuel, God with us. I love that. I love it. And I think we need to unwrap the truth of it, take it to heart. If Christmas is to be much more than a present simply for the here and now, but truly a gift that is forever. Because this son given, this child that's come, transforms our world. God so loves us that he became us. You know, somebody said children shouldn't have to sacrifice to give us the life we want. We should make the sacrifices so our children can have the life that truly blesses them. And if that's true, and I believe it is, then just think what a sacrifice, what love God has shown us in becoming a human being to reach us to where we are in order to take us ultimately to where he is. Do you know, folks, the poverty that Jesus experienced in coming to this earth was not found in the fact that he was born in a stable, laid in a manger, and almost completely unrecognized and unwanted. But it's found in the fact, quite simply, that God became a man. And that if he'd been born in a palace with a silver spoon in his mouth and laid in a gold crib with everyone there to honor him and servants to meet every one of his needs, he still would have been poor on this earth, measured against the glory of heaven that he'd left to come to reach us and speak his truth to our hearts. What an amazing thing to do. And the question comes, how low are we willing to go to serve him and others in his name? How generous are we prepared to be to meet the need of others in his name? How much change are we willing personally to undergo to reach out to those who don't as yet know that God has spoken to them? And how much are we willing to sacrifice for him, knowing what he was willing to sacrifice for us? Not to earn his love. Salvation is a gift, not a reward. Not to earn his love, but to honor it. That's the present gift. Now, folks, do you know the joy of that? Have you unwrapped the truth of it in your own heart and life? Not do you simply know that God is, but do you know that God is with you this morning? One other thing, and then we're through, and we'll drink and we'll eat together. Because in God speaking to us, yes, there is the present gift of God. Yes, there is the past gift of God. But very quickly, one of the things that I love here as we read this passage through is what I call the promised gift of God. Because in this one who's spoken, in this one who comes, through whom God made all things, he appointed him heir of all things. I think, to me, this just blows blows me away. And you say, well, Sean, why is that the promised gift of God to us? Well, because as we're clearly told in Romans 8:17, that we are God's children through faith in Christ. Therefore, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus. So if he's heir of all things, and he is, and we're co-heirs with Jesus, we too are heirs in all things. I can see you're wonderfully delighted by that. That just staggers me. Blows me completely away. The heir of all things. You know, we can get up in the morning and look at the sun and say, do you know what? My sun is shining so brightly this morning. Because we're heirs of all things in Christ. We can go to the seaside and marvel at the ocean that's coming in to bless us. Oh, it's wonderful. You know, Prince William may be heir to the British throne, but what is that compared to the rest of the world, eh? Jesus is the heir of all things. Not just William's inheritance. The diamond mines of South Africa. The forests of the southeast. The gold of Alaska. The oil of the Middle East. That's just for starters. That's just in this world. We haven't even got to the planets and the other universes yet. All things. And not just all things that will be material for us when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, but all the spiritual riches that are ours in Christ too. Eternity will be too short for us to enjoy all the things that we are co-heirs in Christ to enjoy. Hey, people say, oh, I don't want to live forever. I'm going to be bored. Bored? Bored? Heaven's perpetual novelty. It's that moment on Christmas morning when a child gets up and rips into the present and thinks that present is going to last me forever. And they're bored with it by Boxing Day. They go to something else. In heaven, it's perpetual novelty. You unwrap another of the all things. Unwrap another. You haven't got time to be bored. There's no clocks in heaven. God takes you from eternity, brings you into eternity, and it's going to be too short for you to enjoy all that is your inheritance in Christ. Isn't that marvelous? And you say, well, Sean, how is it possible? And this is what brings us to the table. And this is the crux. Because the meaning of Christmas can never be found if we only come to the cradle and we don't make the journey all the way to the cross. How do you get the inheritance? How do you become a co-heir? Well, what does the word say? It comes by birth. That's how Prince William's going to get his inheritance, isn't it? Hey. Sean Sweeney's not going to get his inheritance because I wasn't born into the royal bloodline, was I? Not his one. But through faith in Jesus Christ, repentance of what I've done that put him on the cross, and faith in what he's done on the cross to save me from my sins, because it was on the cross that the writer of the Hebrews says he made purifications for our sins. He took the record of my wrong and he righted it. In golfing terminology, he gave me a mulligan. He gives me a fresh start without penalty. In banking terminology, he pays off my overdraft. Amen. And in Jewish terminology, he becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, sacrificed on that cross, not for his wrongdoing, but for mine. And when I repent of my sin that put him there, and I believe him for my salvation that he died to bring to me by being there, I'm born again to the family of God. I become a child of God. I become a co-heir with Jesus Christ. And all things are my inheritance. That's what's pictured here. That's what's pictured here. That's why we come, not because we're hungry, not because we're thirsty, not for bread and for wine, but we're hungry for him who came to meet our greatest need. Brothers and sisters, isn't that a marvelous thing? But can I ask you as I close, have you unwrapped that gift? Have you heard what God has been saying this morning? He's been speaking. Question, have we been listening? I'm not a prophet, but I hope he's spoken through his word to your heart this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit. Have you unwrapped that gift of knowing that God is present with us? He's not out there in the distance to be waved at like the Queen. He's come here, take up residence in our hearts, to direct us, guide us, bless us, challenge us, encourage us, rebuke us. But have you unwrapped the promised gift of God? Do you know this morning when you leave? You may have come in thinking, oh, I haven't got much in the bank. I haven't got any time to do anything this week. I'm that busy. How am I going to fit it all? Can you leave knowing, look, you're heir with Christ of all things? We can do that, can't we? Let eternity come into our lives so that in the way we live our lives, we reflect that eternity that is forever Christmas in Christ. Look past the present that you're going to get. I hope you get presents. I'm not saying don't buy other people presents. I'm not saying don't buy me a present. Of course I'm not saying that. You know, of course not. I may look stupid, but I'm not. I'm just saying look past whatever present you get to the gift of his presence that guarantees a future forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Just in the quiet, because I know it's a lot to take in. I've tried to cover a number of bases this morning. I understand that, but please don't let what I've said rob you of what God is saying to your heart. Those that are going to help me serve around the table will come up as we sing a song in a minute, but just in a moment of quiet, if God has been speaking to us, let's give ourselves time just to think and listen before we act. Lord, I want to thank you that you are a speaking God. Not only spoke in the past through your prophets, but you're speaking today through your Son. And you've given us your word that you can continue to speak, though Jesus is back in heaven sitting at your right hand, but through the Holy Spirit, in the written word that you've left as a testimony of his words to us, we pray, Lord, that you would impress upon our hearts those gifts that you've given to us that we've yet to unwrap. So allow us to hear you speak, perhaps if we've not heard you speak for a long time, or we've never heard you speak before. Allow us to welcome you into our lives, to make room for you, to know that you're present with us. And Lord, allow us to live in the hope and the joy of all that is to come, because you dwell in us and we're co-heirs with Christ himself. That everything that belongs to him, in him, now belongs to us too. And Lord, as you speak and as we break this bread and we drink this cup, may we do so knowing that in what you've said, we truly are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.